Hawaii America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. The Red Cross wants coalition forces in Iraq to do more to provide security for ordinary people if the country is to recover from the war. The head of the International Committee for the Red Cross made the suggestion after a two-day visit to Iraq. Jakob Kellenberger said upholding public law and order and bringing about a secure environment are the responsibility of the U.S. and Britain under international humanitarian agreements. At a news conference in Geneva, Kellenberger said he was shocked at the state of a hospital that held 1,300 patients before the war. He claimed only 300 remain after many fled from the fighting and looting. He also said the U.S. did not tell the Red Cross where they're keeping the prisoners from the list of 55 most wanted members of Saddam Hussein's regime. Kellenberger noted the organization expected to have access to those important captives. The chief prosecutor in the case of Washington, D.C. area sniper suspect Lee Boyd Malvo is praising a judge's decision over his alleged confession. Fairfax, Virginia Circuit Court Judge Jane Roush will allow most of Malvo's confession to be admissible at his November trial. Fairfax County Prosecutor Robert Horan says he thinks the two-hour taped interview of Malvo will prove insightful to the jury. The White House is dismissing concerns about the role Halliburton will play in the rebuilding of Iraq's oil industry. Halliburton is a giant in the oil business and was once run by Vice President Dick Cheney. California Congressman Henry Waxman has written a letter to the Army Corps of Engineers asking for clarification on the contract awarded to a Halliburton subsidiary without competition. Fleischer shrugged off Waxman's inquiry.
There's not a Republican that Congressman Waxman doesn't want to investigate, and so I just dismiss that.
Fleischer said it's not a White House issue. The White House does not get involved in who gets contracts.
Do you haggle at the dollar store?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think penny candy is far too expensive?
Yes.
Do you look for change in other people's couches?
Yes.
If you answered yes to any of these questions,
yes,
then you, my penny-pinching friend, are our kind of customer.
Yeah.
Because Hotwire.com can save you up to 75% on hotel rooms. Hotwire gets you a 4-star hotel for a 2-star price. So remember, if you're the type of person who runs your paper plates through the dishwasher, then Hotwire is for you.
Hotwire.com. Fly, sleep, drive. Cheap.
It's almost Mother's Day, and you know what that means. It's time to pick up the phone. A new Verizon wireless phone for Mom from Radio Shack. Get her the Samsung A310 for just $24.99 after Samsung mail-in rebate. That's a $75 savings. Radio Shack's experts will even help you choose the service plan and accessories Mom will love. So pick up the phone and make Mom's day at Radio Shack. Offer good through 5/25 with 2-year activation. $175 early termination fees apply. Phone is $249.99 without activation. See stores for details.
Jane Doe, a coalition to prevent violence against women in Massachusetts, is commending the Boston Globe for suspending sports columnist Bob Ryan for a month without pay after he remarked on television that Jemana Kidd, the wife of New Jersey Nets star Jason Kidd, should be smacked for sitting courtside with their son. Nancy Scannell, Jane Doe's director of government affairs, says the coalition is impressed that the Globe understands how serious that kind of statement can be and the potential ramifications of it. Jason Kidd allegedly struck his wife in the past, and Celtic fans chanted wife beater at him during the playoffs last year. Ryan noted in his apology that Jemana Kidd has claimed Celtic fans harassed her. Ryan is also barred from appearing on radio or television for 1 month. Jemana Kidd and her son reportedly won't be coming to Boston this weekend for games 3 and 4 of their NBA basketball series.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
A Mexican diplomat says his country is more interested in fighting the war on terror than reaching a deal with the U.S. on immigrants. Luis Ernesto Derbez, Mexico's foreign minister, made the comments during a visit to Washington, D.C. to talk with Secretary of State Colin Powell. The visit is seen as a gesture to heal ties between the two nations after Mexico refused to authorize the invasion of Iraq in the U.N. Security Council. Mexico had wanted to legalize the status of at least 3.5 million Mexicans working illegally in the United States. The issue was pushed aside in the wake of the September 11th attacks. Despite Mexico's views on the Iraq situation, U.S. officials say the country has cooperated in efforts against potential terrorist attacks and drug trafficking. It was a down day on Wall Street for all three major markets. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 27 points to 85.60. The NASDAQ was down 17 to 15.06, and the S&P 500 was off 4 to 9.29. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Kids fight over toys, and mom says share. Good advice for the playground and the road. When I come back, we'll talk peaceful coexistence between cars and motorcycles.
We're at the track asking drivers why they recommend Champion Platinum Power Spark Plugs. Here comes Matt Kenseth and his Ford. Matt, why do you trust Champion? He said Champion provides long-lasting power. Here comes Dale Earnhardt Jr. and his Chevy. Dale said Champion has the right technology. So use Champion in your car no matter what make it is. Champion, the world's favorite spark plug. What'd he say?
Get new Champion Platinum Power Spark Plugs at a leading auto parts store or retailer near you.
Global detente's important, but drivers of four-wheel vehicles and two-wheeled motorcycles could use some local negotiation in sharing the road. Here's a start. Cyclist, act like full-sized vehicles by claiming road space nearer centerline, encouraging drivers to pass with a wider berth. Four-wheel vehicles, don't move to one side to see what's going on in slow traffic. Stick to the middle of your lane. This position discourages cyclists from weaving between cars. Now that's shuttle diplomacy. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Hey, good afternoon, or good evening. Boy, I did it again, didn't I? Truth Seekers, Malloy here. On Resistance Radio, thank you very much for joining us at about 7:30 the hour, program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces, and the phone number here is 800-825-5937. That's 800-TALK-YES. Email me if you like, mikedmalloy@earthlink.net. I'd like to welcome our listeners on Sirius Satellite Channel 145. That's Sirius Left. Also, those of you listening at radiopower.org. And if you're listening tomorrow when this is not live, you're getting the program through whiterosesociety.org. Who'd I miss? That's it. Plus the radio stations. We do have radio stations. Next hour, political trivia. And as we've been doing all this week, and we'll do through the end of the week, brand new Dixie Chicks Home CD, courtesy of Matt in Glenview, Illinois, who sent me five of them to give away. So we'll do that next hour. And don't forget this Friday, Bush Free Friday, to kind of ease us into the weekend. Right? You like that? All right, to get the ball rolling here, so to speak, I hate to start with such a negative story, but apparently a cholera epidemic is beginning in Basra, Iraq. The World Health Organization, WHO, said it expected this epidemic to bloom in southern Iraq, where 17 cases have now been registered in two different hospitals. The Australian, which is bills itself as Australia's leading daily newspaper, reports this today. The spokeswoman for the World Health Organization said she is not she was concerned. Certainly, it's cholera, for God's sake, but not surprised, given what has happened in Basra. I mention that because I can remember Too Stupid to Be President talking a couple of weeks ago about how all sorts of emergency aid was all sitting in warehouses and on ships in the port there, waiting to help the poor, hapless Iraqi people who have now discovered freedom and epidemic diseases. cholera. Cholera. Man. Bush's photo op the other day, last week, on the USS Lincoln, is causing all sorts of ripples. We're learning all sorts of things, aren't we, about Top Gun's landing on the deck of that that carrier, his jet landing last week. Now the story is Bush chose to make a jet landing, even though he was told he could easily reach the ship by helicopter. That's the new story being put out there. Now, that changes the explanation it originally gave for Bush's Top Gun-style event. Dana Milbank in the Washington Post reported Bush's landing on the Lincoln, and you remember Bush wore a flight suit and a helmet and took underwater survival training in the White House swimming pool. God. But anyway, that televised landing was the dramatic start to a visit to the carrier that included an air show and a televised speech to the nation and a huge banner proclaiming mission accomplished, cheering sailors, right? Now, White House officials, that would be the lying, disgusting, contemptible Ari Fleischer, had said that too stupid to be president took the plane solely to avoid inconveniencing the sailors on board. See, they were returning home after deployment of nearly 10 months. The White House officials said that Bush decided not to wait until the ship was in helicopter range so that he could avoid delaying the troops' homecoming. Right? Now, the aircraft carrier would have arrived about 14 hours earlier had it not been for too stupid to be president making his flight and his dramatic entry and his Top Gun and his helmet and his little speech and mission accomplished and spending the night with the real men who don't desert the military as George W. Bush did when the shooting starts, right? Fleischer and the rest of the liars in the White House who operate the Bush crime family had said that the carrier was hundreds of miles offshore and therefore the use of a jet would be necessary, you'll remember, because the helicopter couldn't make it that far. Now Ari is ducking and covering and said, well, Mr. President made the decision because, well, he didn't want to delay the troops' homecoming. Instead of the carrier being hundreds of miles offshore, as the gullible American sheeple were told to begin with, the USS Lincoln was, in fact, less than 30 miles from the coast when Bush made his tailhook landing. And then officers on board that ship had to slow it down and turn it when the coast became visible, when San Diego became visible for the TV cameras. Have you ever turned an aircraft carrier? Well, neither have I. But I have a brother-in-law who served on the USS, what is it, Kathy? Was it the Independence? Big sucker! Two tours in Vietnam. And my brother-in-law, Ken, tells me that turning an aircraft carrier is, well, difficult. Now, according to the White House spinmeisters, the reason Bush took the jet, now the reason is he wanted to, quote, see an aircraft landing the same way the pilots see an aircraft landing. I wanted to do that, because you know why? Because I was a deserter. I was a deserter from Texas Air National Guard, you know. I was doing drugs, and they wanted me to take one of them damn tests, you know, pee in a bottle, give them some blood, all this other. They would have found out. So I want to see what aircraft landing, same way the pilots saw an air. Well, there's no, George. This is not the way the pilots see an aircraft carrier landing who are in combat. They don't fly out from San Diego, zoom around, zip around, take a few lessons in the White House swimming pool, and then land on the deck with somebody else flying the plane. That's not how they do it, George. That's not the way the pilots see an aircraft carrier landing. Ari Fleischer said yesterday he wanted to see it as realistically as possible, and that's why once the initial decision was made to fly out on the Viking, even when the helicopter option became doable, the president decided and said he wanted to still take the Viking. Ari Fleischer said the carrier had come hundreds of miles closer to shore than expected because, are you ready? Are you sitting down? Because of the weather.
That's why the aircraft carrier was hundreds of miles closer to the west coast of the United States. The weather did it. Representative Henry Waxman, Democrat from California, wrote to the General Accounting Office to ask for a full accounting of the cost of the trip. Oh, picky, picky, picky. Picky, picky. Come on, Waxman, it was $5 million. So what? We Americans are happy to pay $5 million to see our top gun, our military commander, our leader, our deserter, our coward, our abject failure land on an aircraft carrier deck, Henry. $5 million, $10 million? Chicken feed. Now, after Fleischer's remarks, Senator Robert Byrd delivered that impassioned speech on the Senate floor, saying he was deeply troubled by Too Stupid to Be President's actions, which Byrd called flamboyant showmanship.
I am loath to think of an aircraft carrier being used as an advertising backdrop for a presidential political slogan. And yet, that was what I saw.
Well, it's not just you, Senator. We all saw it. But by God, since we are flag-waving Christian Americans who are proud of our president, proud of the fact that he got rid of Saddam Hussein, who sent all those bombers to the United States to blow up the trade towers and the Pentagon, we nonetheless appreciated what Mr. Bush did, Senator. We really did. Replying to Senator Byrd, Ari Fleischer said, well, more than 100 Americans paid the ultimate price to defend our country, and the president is proud to have visited Abraham Lincoln to say thank you in person. But a reporter asked Ari, Senator Robert Byrd yesterday had some pretty tough words for the president and his imperative support of the USS Lincoln, saying that the Lincoln is not some made-for-TV backdrop for a campaign commercial. Also, that he questions the motives of a desk-bound president who assumes the garb of a warrior for the purpose of a speech. And Ari, Senator Byrd also said, this is real life. Real lives have been lost. It's an affront to me. It's an affront to the Americans killed or injured in Iraq for the president to exploit the trappings of war for the momentary spectacle of a speech. What do you say, Ari?
Does a disservice to the men and women of our military to suggest that
what?
The president of the United States,
what?
The manner in which the president visited the military, would be anything other than the exact appropriate thing to do.
Quack, quack.
And I think that the 5,000 sailors on that ship recognized this for what it was. The president going out there to say thank you to those who risked their lives.
Yeah, so that's the end of that nonsense. Senator Byrd, well, he can line up over here to my left, and he can kiss my ass. I'm Ari Fleischer. How dare you, Mr. Reporter, suggest that our illustrious wartime leader would have an ulterior motive? How dare you even suggest it? But another reporter says, well, last week, Ari, you said the speech was significant because, one, we found out that he started rehearsing in the theater for this, and you said it was significant. But tell me this, because of the significance of this, did he need the drama of an aircraft carrier to emphasize the significance of his speech, Ari?
The president decided he wanted to address the nation and to give a speech to sum up to the country where
quack.
We were as the conflict wound down.
Quack, quack.
There were a discussion of the best venues, the various venues for the president to talk to the American people.
Quack, quack.
And the president thought the very best venue would be in a place where he could thank the men and women who helped make it possible in person.
Quack.
So I think that the suggestion, the president wanted to go out somewhere to thank the men and women who made this possible in person.
Quack.
They deserve nothing less. These are the men and women who fought a war to keep us free, to protect us, and to save us. They deserve no less.
Yeah, but Ari, how about your deserting boss? When his turn came, he took off like a chicken with his ass on fire. And I'll tell you, I have a suggestion, Ari. If Bush really wanted to thank the guys, how about thanking the ground troops? Why don't you put him on one of those Viking jets and send his too-stupid-to-be-president ass to, oh, I don't know, how about Basra? How about Baghdad? How about someplace in between?
I'm a monkey, babe. I'm a monkey, babe.
Sometimes get encapsulated in a bubble.
I'm a monkey. I'm a monkey. I'm a monkey. I'm a monkey.
Mom, dead?
Someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it? You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Tuck, you got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when? Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Are you wondering how to prosper in our so-called muddle-through economy? Experts say that gold is now the buy of a generation. Hi, I'm Christopher Kent, host of Antique Talk, and I'd like to introduce you to Swiss America, the company that's helping America to rediscover gold. Now, I'm no expert on the economy or on gold, but I am an expert on antiques and collectibles. And Swiss America is the leader in the United States collectible coin market, which has a very impressive track record over the past 30 years. But before you launch out into rare coins, the first step is to get educated. So please, write this number down, 1-800-289-2646, which spells 1-800-BUY-COIN. That's BUYCOIN. Ask for a free copy of The New Gold Rush. It'll help you understand this emerging gold rush so you can stake your claim and tell them Christopher Kent told you to call.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Chris from New Mexico, welcome to Animal Talk. What's up?
I have a neighbor decided to release 12 piranha into a river up here in northern New Mexico. But I'm wondering, I think that's a crime, isn't it?
It's not a crime, but it's a dumb idea.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You don't want the fish cops coming after you. Let me know.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, could South American piranha survive?
Not in northern New Mexico. And as soon as he dumped the fish in there, they went into shock. They were dead. Now, there are people who have released piranha in Florida, and they are in the canals. They are actually breeding and growing, and Florida is turning into the piranha state.
But would you blame me if I don't go wading for a little while?
Don't worry about it. The only problem is that if you go wading, wear waders, because if not, your lucky charms are not going to be the same size they were when you get out of the water.
Thank you for the visual. And, I'll talk to you later.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. So, some controversy now. It'll die very quickly. So this will probably be the only time we talk about it. The controversy generated by Bush's photo op on board the USS Abraham Lincoln at the expense of 6,000 sailors. All lies, all chicanery, all watch the little man behind the screen. You know, just crazy stuff. So now Henry Waxman wants a general accounting office investigation into, you know, just how much Bush's little USS Lincoln speech cost. You know, remember when Bill Clinton sat on the tarmac, or so the story goes, at L.A. International Airport and got a $200 haircut. Remember that? The story that never happened? But remember how long and how much in depth the right-wing crazies talked about? Well, Bill Clinton got a $200 haircut, and all the planes were held up, and nobody could get anywhere. And Bush's little trip probably cost $5 to $10 million, but Henry Waxman wants to know. So at the press briefing today, another one of the crack White House reporters says, Ari, Henry Waxman has asked the GAO to investigate the cost of what he says is a political event. You know, Ari, the suggestion has been made that the president's political campaign should reimburse taxpayers for the trip. So, Ari, what's the president's response to that, Ari?
There's not a Republican that Congressman Waxman doesn't want to investigate, and so I just dismiss that as not serious.
Yeah, I just dismiss that. You know, I am Ari Fleischer, and I just dismiss that. Henry Waxman wants to investigate every Republican, so just sit down before I pull your press pass. Meanwhile, too stupid to be president, had a meeting with El Presidente Aznar of España today in the White House. And when it came time, we've got some sound from that for you later on the program, where he, once again, he always uses La Casa Blanca. No matter if it's a Spanish speaker who comes to the White House, Bush always drops that in. And he gets that funny lilt to his voice. I'd like to welcome El Presidente Aznar of Spain to La Casa Blanca. Right? You know, sorry, does that? But anyway, after the little speeches these two presidents gave, one of the White House press thugs was standing there and said, Mr. President, do you have any reaction to Senator Byrd's criticism of your aircraft carrier landing?
It's an enormous plus. It's an enormous.
Listen, it was an honor for me to go on the USS Abraham Lincoln. I appreciate the chance to thank our troops. It was an unbelievably positive experience, and not only was I able to thank our troops, I was able to speak to the country and talk about not only their courage, but the courage of a lot of other men and women who wear our country's uniform.
Unlike
glad
me.
I did it.
Yeah.
It was also a really good landing.
Yeah, it was a good landing. Yeah, I'll make jokes about it. So, for too stupid to be president, it was an unbelievably positive experience. Well, George, you know you could have had that unbelievably positive experience back in 1969, 70, or 71, landing on the deck of the aircraft carrier USS Enterprise after a bombing run over Hanoi, right? But no, that was too positive for you, wasn't it, dude? An unbelievably positive experience. I was able to thank our troops. Well, again, I make the suggestion that if you really want to thank the troops, George, I know a couple of places in Iraq where you could go, where there's cholera epidemics and no way to flush a toilet and no food and dead children and wounded Americans and busted to pieces graveyards. Would you like to go there and thank the troops, George? Nah, wouldn't be quite as photogenic, would it?
I know you'll never change. As she said, you're just a Coca-Cola cowboy. You got an Eastwood smile and Robert Redbird.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. Workers who were injured on the job at Ground Zero in the weeks following September 11, 2001, began a week-long hunger strike outside the offices of New York Governor George Pataki yesterday. The hunger strikers say the governor's done little to help workers and residents of Lower Manhattan who were affected by toxic air following the collapse of the towers. They're demanding an investigation into the long-term effects of World Trade Center air pollution, as well as treatment for those affected. The hunger strikers are joined by low-income New Yorkers who are demanding an overhaul of the state's Workers' Compensation Board. Workers' comp cases in New York sometimes take 8 years or longer to resolve, and the protesters are demanding a maximum review time of 3 months.
The Federal Mine Safety Health Administration is resurrecting a proposal that would increase the level of airborne dust allowed in coal mines. The United Mine Workers Union is leading opposition to the rulemaking, worried that the increase will result in a new rash of cases of black lung disease. The U.S. Department of Labor is also skeptical of the idea. Officials there have already spoken critically about the proposal and say they will not permit breathable coal dust levels to be increased. The original rulemaking effort was scuttled 3 years ago for the same concerns.
Workers at a suburban Boston movie theater are holding the line as their Wildcat strike enters its seventh day. Projectionists at the Somerville Theater walked off the job May 1st, forming a picket line outside the Boston Independent Film Fest. Police were dispatched to the scene and a melee ensued, and while no one was arrested, a number of strike leaders were injured. Despite this, the projectionists say they'll continue to strike for the recognition of their union, the International Association of Theatrical Stage Employees, with whom they hope to win health insurance, improvements to minimum wage pay, and protection against breathing hazardous polyester dust.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The flying monkey ride blues. Here's the cure. Mike Malloy.
Now, regarding that story about that Dana Milbank wrote in the Washington Post about the story keeps changing now about Bush's little happy time on the aircraft carrier USS Abraham Lincoln. Our senior correspondent, Chris, in Minnesota, said Dana Milbank's article stops short of calling Fleischer and the White House liars, probably because he knew his ass would be hitting pavement if he stepped over that line. For example, Chris writes, Dana Milbank doesn't explain this little tidbit. This is from the article.
Navy officers slowed and turned the ship when land became visible.
So my senior correspondent wants to know why Dana didn't finish the paragraph. It should read something like this.
Navy officers slowed and turned the ship when land became visible because then the cameras would have picked up the California coastline. This would have been disastrous for George Bush's image, especially considering White House officials said that the carrier would be hundreds of miles out to sea.
Now, another example of the writer, the Washington Post, Dana Milbank, accepting and hoping you'll accept the story hook, line, and sinker is this line, as Chris points out.
Fleischer said the carrier had come hundreds of miles closer to shore than expected because of the weather.
And as Chris writes, I didn't see this bogus landing as it happened, but I'm assuming that the sky was clear. It was, Chris. The water was calm as glass, Chris. Or they would have never let the moron go up in the sky. Oh, my God. Oh, well. It's a non-story, right? Who cares? Mr. Bush, our great intrepid leader, our wartime president, the man who is leading us through the thicket of global terrorism, paid a visit to the boys on the carrier. And I think we ought to just be happy that we have such a leader who can look so good in a flight suit carrying that helmet under his arm. The U.S. Army, that's our army, has revealed for the first time that the Halliburton Company Octopus, Cheney's company, has a contract that is not just to put out the oil well fires. Remember, that's what we were told. Weren't we told that? That Brown & Root, one of the subsidiaries of Halliburton, was, we're going to give them a little, it's nothing, it's $400 or $500 million contract, put out fires. What fires? There are no fires. Turns out that the contract given to Dick Cheney's Halliburton Company encompasses the entire operation of Iraqi oil fields. Now, do you hear a faint echo like I do? Somebody in the Bush crime family saying, well, the oil belongs to the Iraqis. It's their asset that, we're going to save those oil fields for the Iraqis. Remember all that? Well, guess who it belongs to now? It belongs to Halliburton, all of it. Previously, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers had described that contract given to Halliburton with no bids. It was just, here, Uncle Dick, here you are. That the contract involved oil well firefighting, right? Isn't it? Right. Well, what, first of all, like I said, what fires? You see fires? I don't see any fires. I see no fires anywhere. As a matter of fact, I seem to remember reports from the front were that there were 7 oil wells that were set on fire. And the Brits, for the most part, put them out, I think, boots and coots. This group of firefighters out of Texas went over there and they put out the other 2. In a May 2nd letter, replying to questions from Henry Waxman, here he is again, the Army said the contract also included, quote, operation of facilities and distribution of products. Products? Let us pause for a moment and consider what products come from Iraq. Oh, that's right. Henry Waxman, the top-ranking Democrat in the House of Representatives Committee on Government Reform, asked for an explanation. Waxman told Army Corps of Engineers Military Programs Chief Lieutenant General Robert Flowers, quote, your May 2nd letter indicates that the contract is considerably broader in scope than previously known. In fact, prior descriptions of the Halliburton contract had indicated that the contract was for extinguishing fires at oil wells and for related repair activities. These new disclosures are significant, and they seem at odds with the administration's repeated assurances that the Iraqi oil belongs to the Iraqi people. Sincerely, Henry Waxman. He's going to get an answer, right? He's going to get an answer. Sure he is. Now, today's press briefing, one of the crack White House press corps members asked about Waxman's complaint about Halliburton's contract rights in Iraq. The reporter said, Ari, Congressman Waxman sent a letter to Lieutenant General Flowers, and the letter said,
there appears to be a conflict between the administration's statements of intent that the oil belongs to Iraqis and its actions issuing contracts to Halliburton to produce and distribute the oil. This conflict should be addressed by the administration in a forthright manner.
So, Ari, that's what Waxman said. So let me ask, is there any concern that at the very least, the administration has a perception problem here, that this could become something where, if Waxman continues to call for investigations, continues to ask for information about the contracts, that it could become...
This is exactly what I said at the beginning. Congressman Waxman has never met a Republican he didn't want to investigate. you can address all questions to the contracting agencies. And, of course, the oil of Iraq belongs to the Iraqi people. All resources of Iraq Iraq belong to the Iraqi people.
Quack, quack.
And the United States, through the Agency for International Development, through other entities, is going to be there to help the Iraqi people. And that is exactly what we're doing.
We're going to help the Iraqi people. Yeah, we're going to help them. We're going to help them. We're going to help them extract all those billions of barrels of oil.
Or is it only hundreds of millions?
And it's going to flow through Halliburton pipelines and into Halliburton tankers and off to Halliburton refineries and over to Halliburton distributors and down to Halliburton gas stations and into Halliburton cars, I guess. But by God, we are only there to help the Iraqi people. That's exactly what we're doing, Ari says. We're helping the Iraqi people. Pay no attention to Henry Waxman. Waxman, isn't that Jewish? Waxman. Well, wait a minute. I'm Jewish. I'm Ari Fleischer. Waxman, isn't that Democrat? Pay no attention. Henry Waxman also said that Halliburton's dealings with countries cited by Too Stupid to Be President as state sponsors of terrorism or members of the so-called Axis of Evil, Halliburton's dealings with them date all the way back to the 1980s. Woo! Let's not bring that up. Libya. Iran. Let's not bring up Donnie Rumsfeld's dealings with North Korea, providing them nuclear reactors. No, 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 no. Let's not bring up Rumsfeld's dealings with Saddam Hussein, providing him with precursors for weapons of mass destruction. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Waxman said these dealings appear to have continued during the period between 1995 and 2000 when Vice President Richard Cheney headed Halliburton, and they are apparently ongoing even today. Well, that's just a technicality. Everything's being done legally. Dick Cheney's no longer president of Halliburton or CEO, whatever he was. He still gets $1 million a year as part of his compensation, that's what we'll call it. But surely nobody in this country, nobody in the press corps, nobody amongst us American sheep will believe for one second, do we, that there's any possible conflict of interest here? Why, of course not. Good God, what's wrong with us? Waxman stopped short of saying Halliburton's actions violated U.S. laws that prohibit business dealings in certain countries. But Waxman said that Halliburton, quote, appears to have sought to circumvent these laws by setting up subsidiaries in foreign countries and territories such as the Cayman Islands. End quote. Waxman also said he was concerned that the Bush crime family was awarding new contracts to Halliburton, even as we speak, despite its ties to certain countries. Waxman dashed off a letter to Rumsfeld. Mr. Secretary, I'd like to know what the Defense Department knows about these ties and whether you think this should be a matter of concern to the Congress and the American taxpayer. Rather than being criticized, the company is rewarded with valuable government contracts. More of them. Lots of them. What do you say about this, Mr. Secretary?
Don Rumsfeld's office was too busy to respond. But a Halliburton spokeswoman, Wendy Hall, said the company operates within the law.
We operate within the law.
We operate.
We operate within the law. And we try to remain competitive with our U.S. and our foreign rivals. And putting politics aside, please, Mr. Waxman, we and our affiliates operate in countries to the extent it is legally permissible, where our customers are active, as they expect us to provide oil field services support to their international operations,
said Wendy Hall in a written statement.
Well, there you go. Now, anyone who pursues this is being a harasser. Don't harass Halliburton or Wendy Hall. Thank you. Or Dick Cheney or Donald Rumsfeld.
Thank you.
Don't harass these people. They're just doing business. All legal. It's all okay. After all, we uncovered massive quantities of weapons of mass destruction. We stopped Iraq from invading Syria.
Wait a second. They're run by the same political party.
We stopped them from invading Jordan. We stopped them from invading Turkey and Iran, not to mention Saudi Arabia and Kuwait. And we also stopped them from launching Boku nuclear missiles against the United States. That's what we did when we invaded Iraq. And we stopped anthrax attacks and what else? What else we stopped, Kathy? We stopped it all, so why are you nitpicking? Why are you bitching about something like a little old contract for $7 billion to Halliburton? And why are you complaining about the fact that Iraqi oil is now a Halliburton property? As Wendy Hall said, putting aside politics, we do everything legal. We really do. Waxman has asked the General Accounting Office, the investigative arm of Congress, to probe, God, I love that word, whether the firm, that would be Halliburton, had received favorable treatment by the Bush crime family.
Meanwhile, a spokeswoman for Dick Cheney, contacted about all this, gave no response.
He doesn't have to. And he won't. Because it's none of Henry Waxman's Jewish West Coast California business, what Dick Cheney does. It's none of his business. And the American sheeple, it's none of your business either. What are you, crazy? We invaded this godforsaken little rat hole of a country to get the oil. Anybody in this country doesn't understand that? What's wrong with you people, eh? I'm Dick Cheney.
I'm Don Rumsfeld.
I'm George Bush. We do whatever the hell we want to do. They had oil. We wanted the oil. We take it. Okay? I'll land on the deck of an aircraft carrier. And everybody will forget it. Now, let's move on. Let me tell you how I'm going to save the economy here. Jesus.
And who among the Democratic Party leadership is screaming for investigation? Well, Henry Waxman is asking for a GAO investigation. And what are we doing? What's the American people doing? What are we doing, huh? Not a damn thing. Okay, next question. Why aren't we doing something?
Well, Mike, I don't want to be accused of being unpatriotic. That's why I'm not doing anything. Now, damn it, if you don't lighten up, I'm going to find a different radio program to listen to that's not so threatening.
I don't, yeah, you know, what are you going to say? There's no way to stop it. There is absolutely, they can have as many investigations as they want. In the first place, there'll never be an investigation of anything. 911, Halliburton, Brown and Root, Dick Cheney, Don Rumsfeld, the attack on Iraq, nothing. You know why? Because the Republicans control all the committees, all the little investigative branches of the legislative branch of government. They control it all. They have the subpoena power. Nobody's going to do anything. Nothing. Not today, not next month. Not 4 years from now. Nothing. There is one thing that could be done, and that is 10, 20, 30 million Americans take to the streets with flaming torches and pitchforks, I believe Pat Buchanan referred to several years back, and march on the White House. Right. Sure.
The Prime Minister of Australia had some things to say about all this damned questioning about the legitimacy of the attack on Iraq. He did. Frankly, the Prime Minister of Australia, who, by the way, his constituents hate him, the Prime Minister of Australia, John Howard, has just about had enough of all this probing and prodding and questions whether or not the legitimacy of the invasion should be questioned. I'll tell you what the PM of Australia had to say in just a moment.
Now I ain't no fan of Saddam Hussein. Oh, please don't get me
so long. Why didn't we sort this out last time? Was he less evil then than he is now? The stock market holds the answer to why him, why here, why now? 'Cause it's all about the price of oil. It's all.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Aw, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Thank you.
vice president. I've got great confidence in the vice president, doing a heck of a good job. When I picked him, I knew he was a fine business leader and a fine, experienced man.
Yeah. All right, very quickly here. The Prime Minister of Australia has said that questions of the legitimacy of the invasion of Iraq should be dropped. Stop asking questions. Stop making sense. Now that the conflict phase of that war has ended, right? John Howard was at the United Nations in New York earlier this week, and he said there was no value in continuing to argue whether the United States, Britain, and Australia had a legal right to launch a war. Come on now. You got to stop. The debate over post-war arrangements, like the role of the UN in Iraq, the role of Halliburton in Iraq, who's putting all this money in their pockets, according to Australian Prime Minister John Howard, should not become, quote, an arena to debate again old arguments. Damn, this stuff's old. We were talking about this, well, I don't know, 2 months ago. Time to move on. Now, the Security Council resolutions imposed on Iraq, you see, say that the sanctions can only be removed when UN weapons inspectors have verified that the country has no more weapons of mass destruction, right? And this has got John Howard's bloomers in a wad. Now, come on. Got to stop. All right, Fleischer at the press briefing today. Well, Helen Thomas was there, and she asked about those so far invisible weapons of mass destruction. She said, Ari, is the president disturbed that you've not found weapons of mass destruction? We went to war, didn't we, to find these? Because we said that these weapons were a direct and imminent threat to the United States, right, Ari?
One of the reasons that we went to war was because of their possession of weapons of mass destruction, and nothing has changed on that front at all. We said what we said because we meant it. We had the intelligence to report it. Secretary Powell said it. And so we have always had confidence. We continue to have confidence that WMD will be found.
We had the intelligence to report it. Secretary of Powell, Powell said it. No, Ari, the intelligence, you remember, was fabricated. That means faked, Ari. Oh, my God. Oh, I hear the organ music. Who is that? You two? All right, quick break here. We'll be back. We have two more hours of fun and frivolity. Oh, by the way, if you want to call in, 800-825-5937. And you can win it. Dixie Chicks CD coming up next. Stay with us.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. France and the United States appear to be at odds once again in regards to Iraq.
This time the issue isn't war, but the post-war government in the Gulf state. France's foreign minister came out today urging the coalition to move quickly to put into place an Iraqi government backed by the United Nations. He says it's pivotal to establish a legitimate Iraqi authority. Currently, the U.S. is in the process of assembling a government with an Iraqi face, meaning it should be comprised of locals and returned exiles. The chief prosecutor in the case of Washington, D.C. area sniper suspect Lee Boyd Malvo is praising a judge's decision over his alleged confession. Fairfax, Virginia Circuit Court Judge Jane Roush will allow most of Malvo's confession to be admissible at his November trial. Fairfax County Prosecutor Robert Horan says he thinks the two-hour taped interview of Malvo will prove insightful to the jury. The White House is still on the defensive about President Bush's landing aboard the USS Abraham Lincoln last week. White House spokesman Ari Fleischer said the president was proud to have visited the ship to pay tribute to sailors returning home.
Well, I think it does a disservice to the men and women of our military to suggest that the president of the United States or the manner in which the president visited the military would be anything other than the exact appropriate thing to do.
West Virginia Democratic Senator Robert Byrd, an opponent of the Iraqi war, called the landing flamboyant showmanship. He added that he was deeply troubled by the administration using the aircraft carrier as an advertising backdrop and the military as stage props. Fleischer has acknowledged that the president could have easily reached the ship by helicopter from San Diego, but chose to ride shotgun in a Navy S-3B Viking jet. Aboard the vessel, Bush made a televised speech announcing the end of major combat in Iraq.
Your mission, Mother's Day shopping. Your goal, find gifts that make mom happy. Your rendezvous point, Radio Shack. Consider the following. A talking picture frame to hold snapshots and a recording of how much you love her, $9.99. The Honeywell Environizer, an electronic air purifier to help mom breathe easier, $99.99. A Palm Zire PDA to keep mom organized and on schedule, $99.99. Should you fail these objectives, Mother's Day could self-destruct. Good luck, shopper. Radio Shack, you've got questions, we've got answers.
Cheapo.
Penny Pincher.
Coupon Charlie.
Sure, they're just names, but they hurt.
Ouch.
And there's a place that understands. A place called Hotwire.com. We won't call you things like...
Belt tightener.
Oh, no. Hotwire will help you embrace your frugal side with the lowest hotel prices guaranteed, or we'll give you double the difference. Does that sound like someone who'd call you a...
Tightwad.
Nope. The only thing we'll call you is our kind of customer. Oh, and cheapskate.
Hotwire.com. Fly, sleep, drive. Cheap.
Hundreds of nurses from Pennsylvania's two largest unions marched on the Capitol today and met with lawmakers in support of legislation that they say will make for better working conditions for registered nurses and improve patient safety in Pennsylvania. Members of the Service Employees International Union and the Pennsylvania Association of Staff Nurses marched to the Capitol around noon today. SEIU Communications Coordinator Lisa Williams explains the goal of the event.
We're basically issuing a warning to them that short staffing and the practice of mandating overtime in Pennsylvania hospitals are putting patients at risk and pushing more nurses out of the profession.
The nurses are urging passage of two bills which would require proper nurse-to-patient ratios and prohibit healthcare facilities from mandating nurses work overtime except in emergency situations.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
A Mexican diplomat says his country is more interested in fighting the war on terror than reaching a deal with the U.S. on immigrants. Luis Ernesto Derbez, Mexico's foreign minister, made the comments during a visit to Washington, D.C. to talk with Secretary of State Colin Powell. The visit is seen as a gesture to heal ties between the two nations after Mexico refused to authorize the invasion of Iraq in the U.N. Security Council. Mexico had wanted to legalize the status of at least 3.5 million Mexicans working illegally in the United States. The issue was pushed aside in the wake of the September 11th attacks. Despite Mexico's views on the Iraq situation, U.S. officials say the country has cooperated in efforts against potential terrorist attacks and drug trafficking. It was a down day on Wall Street for all three major markets. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 27 points to 85.60. The NASDAQ was down 17 to 15.06, and the S&P 500 was off 4 to 9.29. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby.
Tommy Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. They say history repeats itself. World War I, World War II, Rocky I, II, III, IV, and V. But when we come back, I'll share with you some automotive history about a certain bug's life.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered a company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com.
A Bug's Life could be the autobiography of the VW Beetle, which made history twice. It was originally named KDF Wagon, aptly meaning strength through joy. This odd-shaped little car, brainchild of Dr. Ferdinand Porsche, was designed with the backing of Adolf Hitler, who announced its birth at a Berlin exhibition in 1938. Out of production for almost 20 years, the VW was reborn in 1998. Its popularity with baby boomers and Gen Xers ensures life long into the 21st century. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us!
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Okay, before we go to your phone calls and the Dixie Chicks trivia one question quiz, I've just got one more soundbite here. This is from Ari's press briefing today. ABC's Terry Moran had a question about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction. Terry raises his hand and says, Ari, so is it still the administration's claim that Iraq had battlefield munitions, weapons of mass destruction, weapons ready to go that simply haven't been found yet in Iraq, but they are there?
No changes on it, Terry. It's going to be a long process, and that's what's driving this. And the search is underway. We make no predictions about how long it will take. It may take a while.
Quack, quack.
And we will continue to develop information. As I indicated, there will be some information forthcoming that on what may be known so far.
Oh, my God. Okay, so, the weapons of mass destruction, they're coming. Just everybody, for God's sake, be a little patient. Will you please? They're there. Nuclear bombs, huge. Train loads full of anthrax and sarin gas and athlete's foot bacteria, all kinds of things. It's all there. For God's sake, give us a chance to find it, will you? Says Ari. Jay is calling from Arvada, Colorado. Hey, Jay.
Hey there, Mike. You're on a roll tonight. I'm enjoying this.
Hey, this is your first time calling?
It is.
Well, welcome aboard.
Thank you. And I was just noting, that what Wellman's up to, and I just wonder where he's going to be 2 weeks prior to election. I would recommend he stay off King Aircraft.
Now, who is that? I'm sorry.
Not Wellman, but Waxman.
Oh, Henry Waxman?
Yeah, Wellman is no longer well, and maybe it's time to wax the Waxman.
Waxman. Well, Waxman, like Ari Fleischer says, Waxman has never met a Republican. He doesn't want to investigate, you know. I don't know how Waxman. I'm surprised the tobacco industry hasn't offed Waxman several times at this point. You know, gave him cement booties and dropped him into San Diego Harbor. I have no idea why that hasn't happened, but Waxman persists, and one of these days he's going to connect, but I'll tell you when that day will be.
Yes, and a couple other points.
It'll be the day that the Democrats control the House of Representatives, where they can call committees to investigate this criminality, and they have subpoena power.
And it'll be a group flight, most likely.
Probably.
Also, I just wanted to comment on the moving of troops from Saudi Arabia over to Iraq. I think that's a good sign that they're not just leaving Saudi Arabia, but they're going to be in Iraq permanently. Because you know they're going to stay there.
Oh, sure. The story is that we are moving our bases from Saudi Arabia to Qatar, but that's only temporary.
Yeah.
The permanent bases are going to be probably four of them in Iraq. That's going to be permanent U.S. bases. And from those bases, then, we can kick Iran's ass. We can kick Syria's ass. We can head for Kazakhstan, Tabluchistan, Nakistan, Ugliistan, Pissanistan. Wherever the oil is, that's where we'll go, and we'll have the bases right there. No more of this sending troops from San Diego or from New York or from wherever the hell they come from, Mayport Naval Air Station down in Florida.
Right, even if the democracy wants the troops out of there.
Democracy?
That we're going to put in there that really will be a puppet democracy.
Right.
But also, isn't it interesting how that these sanctions, which were set up by Papa Bush, are now in the process of being removed and wanting to be removed by Junior Bush, so the U.S. corporations can go in there and clean up?
Well, the U.N. is saying they had a hand in imposing those sanctions. They will have a hand in removing those sanctions. But I noticed that Colin Powell got together with Kofi Annan today, a little bit of chit-chat among the boys, and I'm sure deals are being cut, things are being worked out. In order to export the oil, Halliburton needs to have the damn sanctions removed.
Of course. And one thing kind of off the subject a little bit, what about the possibility that Bush has sabotaged Tony Blair? If you think about it, the conservatives are going to pretty much displace the Labor Party now.
I think Tony Blair he's got about a 200-seat majority in the House of Commons. I don't think Tony Blair is worried about anything. Plus, Tony Blair is right up there with George Bush next to Jesus. You didn't know that?
You think he'll get a position at Carlisle like Major got?
Probably. That's usually the payoff for people. That if you work closely with the Bush crime family, eventually you get your payoff. That's all. That's all,
Wait, one more thing. What about the possibility that maybe Bush worked out some kind of a deal with Saddam Hussein to get out of town and thereby weakening the position of the Republican Guard and making this thing a cakewalk?
Well, you notice the reports are surfacing now that tapes of Saddam Hussein are starting to surface. Apparently, a newspaper in Australia got a tape of Saddam Hussein.
Excellent.
Tapes of Osama bin Laden. Pretty soon we'll have tapes of Fidel Castro. Tapes of Assad from Syria. Tapes of Muammar Gaddafi. I wouldn't be surprised if they cut a deal. Maybe Saddam will wind up on the board of directors of the Carlyle Group.
That's very, very likely.
I think it's a distinct possibility. Jay, I hope you call again. Thank you for finding the program. Thanks for checking
in. Well, I sure appreciate your program. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Tony Blair? All right. First, let me give you the question. Okay, you ready? All right. Here's the trivia question. First prize, the only prize, thanks to Matt in Glenview, Illinois, a regular listener of this program who was so kind as to order five, count them, five, brand new CDs from the Dixie Chicks, the Home CD, the new one that has the hit singles Long Time Gone and Landslide. The Dixie Chicks, by God, I've got three of them left here. This is Wednesday night. We gave away two so far this week, one tonight, one tomorrow, one Friday. Thanks, Matt. All right, you ready for your trivia question? Here it comes.
Budget Director Mitch Daniels resigned this week. Here's your question. For what pharmaceutical company was Mitch Daniels a director before he went to work for the Bush crime family? Okay, one more time. Mitch Daniels, Bush's budget director, resigned this week. For what pharmaceutical company was Mitch Daniels a director before he went to work for the Bush crime family? Okay, give us some thought. And Kathy now will start punching in the lines to find out if one of our lucky listeners has the answer. And if you do have the answer, by God, you get a Dixie Chicks CD courtesy of Matt in Glenview, Illinois. We will mail it to you this Friday. You should have it by, I don't know, what, Monday, Tuesday? Before I go back to your phone calls here, while Kathy is spinning through the folks on hold. And by the way, we have just a what's wrong? Is it raining where you are tonight? You afraid to pick up the phone? Come on, 800-TALK-YES. We got about three open lines here. We're trying to give away this CD
and I've got all these open lines. What's am I pissing you off? I know I pissed off a lot of Democrats. My God, my emails are telling me that. But, you know, if you can't take a joke, what the hell's wrong with you? Okay? Come on. 800. Talk yes. Blah, 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 blah. While you're dialing in, just a little story here. Jay brought it up from the U.K. Tony Blair has said, all right, now sit down for this. Sit down. I know you're not standing anyway. What the hell? You wouldn't be standing if you're listening to this program. But Tony Blair has said, this is according to, well, I'll post it tonight. You read it yourself. Tony Blair has said that he believes he will be called to account for the Iraq war before the throne of God. And that he can justify to God his decision which led to hundreds of deaths. Jesus, we have another one. Tony Blair. What does George Bush and Tony Blair do before they start killing people? Pray? Jesus, we're about to kill a whole nother slew of them. But I know you'll understand God and Jesus because, well, we're born-agains. We're born-again Christians. Now, this information comes from a behind-the-scenes account of the Iraq crisis published in the Times of London's magazine. How about that? This declaration of faith by Tony Blair came on April 2nd, the day after seven Iraqi women and children were shot to death at a checkpoint. Jesus will forgive me. Jesus will understand why I had to do this, Tony Blair says. Now, that's not coming from Bush. That's coming from Tony Blair. Did you know he was a born-again, snake-handling, Bible-thumping, tongue-talking, acid-drinking Christian just like George? You didn't? Well, shame on you. Now, the difference between Blair and Bush regarding their born-again status is that Blair usually is a little bit cautious about discussing how his religious faith guides his political actions. But he told the writer from the Sunday Times magazine, or the Times magazine, that he was ready to meet his maker and answer before God for, quote, those who have died or been horribly maimed as a result of my decisions, end quote. Can you believe this? Can you believe this? You know, I said it last week. For these psychopaths who believe this, you know, the talking snake theory of creation, all this other stuff, if there were just a moment right after total death, I'm not talking about a near-death experience. I mean when each and every one of us dies, dead, the lights click out, it's over. I wish there was a moment, just a little frame of reference where guys like Tony Blair and George Bush and Pat Robertson and the rest of these thugs could just for a moment be aware of the void. Gee, this is not what I thought. I thought there would be angels. I thought there would be all sorts of wonderful things. This is nothing, but a huge, nothing. So Tony Blair is going to stand before God and justify his whatever death and maiming he, Tony Blair, is responsible for. One of the anchors on the British newscast Newsnight was rebuked several months ago for asking Mr. Blair if he and Mr. Bush prayed together before meetings. And Mr. Blair apparently had to be persuaded to drop the phrase, God bless you, from his broadcast to the nation at the start of the war. One advisor told Blair that invoking God's name for killing and death and destruction and violence might be a mistake because, quote, you are talking to lots of people who don't want chaplains pushing stuff down the throats, Mr. Blair. Blair responded to this aide by saying that all of his aides were a most ungodly lot. But he was finally persuaded to close his addresses with thank you rather than may God bless. Oh, jeez. All right, I think we have a winner. Right after this break, we shall announce this lucky person. Stay with us.
Strong. Mom, Dad,
someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Tough. You got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when. Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
United we stand, shout the red, white, and blue CEOs of America's airlines as they rush to Washington to explain that their industry needs $3 billion in taxpayer subsidies to keep flying in these perilous economic times. Meanwhile, back at headquarters, these same CEOs are shouting quite a different message at their employees. Instead of United we stand, it's you're on your own. As the top dogs are firing thousands and demanding cuts of one-third to one-half in the paychecks of the employees that remain, plus making huge cuts in worker pensions. Well, rump the CEOs, we're accepting cuts in our pay, too. Look at Glenn Tilton, honcho at United Airlines. Poor Glenn took an 11% salary whack last year and is taking another 14% this year, they point out, tears welling in their eyes at the thought of Tilton's sacrifice in the common cause. Yeah, poor Glenn. He's down to only $712,000 in salary this year. But wait, there's more. He's also getting $1.5 million in stock payments this year, a $3 million signing bonus, and a special $4.5 million pension payment. His total haul is nearly $10 million. Talk about your friendly skies. Likewise, old Leo Mullins at Delta Airlines says he's cutting his salary to barely $600,000 this year, as well as giving up some $6 million in bonuses and stock payments. What a guy, huh? Before giving him the Golden Heart Award, however, let's note that he quietly is pocketing millions in corporate cash for a special pension fund he set up for himself this year, including extra payments to cover the taxes that he will owe on the special pension. Now that's putting the gold in the golden years, isn't it? This is Jim Hightower saying, Senator John McCain believes we should not bail out airlines until these CEO ripoffs end. To back McCain's effort, call him 202-224-2235.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. I think we may have a winner. This is Terry calling from Denver, Colorado. Hi, Terry. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
I guess you had a chat with Kathy, and she informs me you do have the answer. Let me give the question again. Mitch Daniels resigned this week. For what pharmaceutical company was he a director before he went to work for the Bush crime family?
He was with the Eli Lilly Company.
Bingo! Well, you got it. Did Kathy get your mailing address?
She did, and I'm so glad that I called on it. Day when you're actually on the air instead of a day when I'm listening the day before.
Oh, you normally go to White Rose Society?
I do. And the other day, I was listening during your regular time, and you did the question, and I started to dial.
Oh, you sent me an email about that.
I did.
Yes, you did. Yeah, that's right. And you said, silly me, or something like that. Well, I'd much prefer to have you listen live. I really would. It makes for a much more entertaining and interactive program when we have people who are actually listening and calling in.
Well, once school's over and my son's not hugging the computer, I can't.
I hear that. Well,
anyway, I've got his whole... I'm sitting here listening to the commercials and the news, and I have his whole biography if you want to hear the whole ugly truth.
No. We will know more and more about Mitch Daniels shortly after he's indicted for this scandal that's coming down.
Insider trading?
Yeah, brought by the, I think, the Attorney General of the state of Indiana. I've got the story here. I might be able to get to it tonight, but we'll have plenty of information on Mitch Daniels very soon. Because you know how the Wall Street Journal and Lou Dobbs and the rest of these people love to bring out all the gory details when one of their class is indicted and charged with crimes against...
Doesn't it run when the moon is in lunar rotation or something like that? Is that when they run those stories?
I think so.
That's what we used to say in radio.
I think so. Well, Terry, I'm glad you won the CD. It'll be mailed to you on Friday, and unless Ashcroft's office of opening your mail happens to get to it, you'll have it by Monday or Tuesday.
Okay.
Hope you enjoy. Thanks for calling in, Terry.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Take care. Eli Lilly. Now, that's not the company that's being investigated, although it should be, but it's a different company. We'll try to get that story a little bit later in the program. Mark is calling from New York. Now, you're making claims to being our New York bureau chief.
Evening. How are you?
Well, I have a New York City bureau chief. Her name is Teresa.
Well, I'm actually not in New York. Well, we've emailed about that, too.
Okay, so...
I'm not in the city. I'm actually in the... I'm up in the woods, about an hour north of the city, so...
All right, do you want to be the woods bureau chief?
There you go.
Well, no, that's...
The upstate New York bureau chief.
Upstate New York bureau chief. Okay, you got it.
Yeah, we're starting to get pounded with some of the weather you folks had over there, so if you lose me, you'll know why. I just... I called because Terry McAuliffe was on NPR.
Oh, was he?
He was, and he was on the NPR affiliate in New York.
Was he on this afternoon? All things considered.
No. It was this morning. The call letters are just escaping me now. But it's the NPR affiliate in Manhattan.
Okay, early edition.
Yeah, and okay. And boy, did he give them a lot more time than he gave you. Not that surprising. But you'll recall, I sent you that email earlier in the week about abandoning ship and about the fact that they were culling the group of candidates so quickly,
right.
And he gave an excuse for that.
Oh,
he said, basically the reason why we're doing this is so we can get one guy out there as quick as we can to go up against Bush and start hammering him.
You're right.
I'm sitting here thinking about the math, and I'm going, okay, let's see, you got nine guys out there hammering him, or you're going to have one.
Mm-hmm. Well, if they really wanted to hammer Bush, right now the person wielding the biggest hammer. The most effective hammer, I think, is Howard Dean. But the one who could really wield the hammer, if somebody would just light a fire under him, is Dennis Kucinich.
Absolutely.
But we'll see what happens.
Yep.
Well,
yeah, everybody, what you were saying the other day about supporting him, particularly financially, I think is really important.
I think so, too.
They're blocking him every way they can.
Yes, they are.
All right, listen, thank you, sir. You have a good night.
All right, Mark, you're the Upstate New York Bureau Chief now.
There you go.
You got to send in your dues as soon as you can.
I will do that.
Okay, thank you, sir. Care. Appreciate it.
Strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
indoor games on a military base have a collateral benefit. They create habitat for an endangered butterfly. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Every year, 100,000 military personnel visit Fort McCoy in central Wisconsin. They learn to maneuver and bivouac in native oak savannas and sand prairies inside the fort's boundaries. The troops use live ammunition, and occasionally that starts wildfires. Mark Leach is an ecologist at the University of Wisconsin Arboretum who studies the rare plants and animals of Fort McCoy. Leach says the wildfires are good for an endangered insect called the Karner blue butterfly.
Parts of Fort McCoy are some of the most frequently burned places in the Midwest, and the fires have been very important for the conservation of not only rare plants, but also for the Karner blue butterfly, which is a federally endangered species, probably the largest population of which occurs at Fort McCoy.
Karner blue butterflies are abundant at the fort because the wildfires create habitat for their favorite plant. The tiny butterfly depends on a flower called wild lupin, where females lay their eggs and caterpillars eat their first meal. Fort McCoy has over 3,000 acres of lupins.
The Karner blue butterflies are dependent upon wild lupin, and wild lupin is one of the most fire-adaptive plant species. It grows much better in areas that burn frequently, responds very well to fire. It's more robust, has more flowers, sets more seeds following fire.
Fires at Fort McCoy are commonly started by explosions, but Leach says the military also uses controlled burns and timber harvests to create open areas where lupins can grow. He says these efforts to create habitat for the Karner blue butterfly are mandated by the Endangered Species Act. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk. Not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. 800-TALK-YES is the number. One of our over-the-road truck drivers, our fleet of truck drivers, is calling in. David's calling from North Carolina. Hey, David, how you doing?
Whack, whack, whack. Hallelujah. Great show tonight, Mike.
Thank you, sir.
First and foremost, there was a program on earlier that comes on before your program. I think it's called All America.
I haven't heard it yet, but I understand it's two people.
Well, actually, I only caught part of the format today, but the story that they did was, I think it was in an Australian paper.
Uh-huh.
It was reported on that the Iraqis also looted a nuclear facility, a research facility there in Iraq, and they made off with containers, and they just totally ravaged the place. They emptied the containers out in the facility, possibly polluted the waters. They have pictures of the Iraqi women storing water in these hazardous material, radioactive
right
containers.
Well, I've got the same story from the New York Post that, as a matter of fact, I was thinking about getting to as the next item on our agenda.
But
what a hell of a story! Not only if the motivation for killing Iraqis and killing civilians and having Americans die was to secure those weapons of mass destruction, then does it not stagger the imagination that whoever was in charge didn't think to send people, fully armed U.S. servicemen and women with tanks and also and cannons guard these places?
Well, actually, they said they had two tanks there. We are talking about a 150-acre complex.
Two tanks!
Right.
Oh, my God.
And also, I like to say, praise God, hallelujah, for that senator from West Virginia. He gave the press the ammo in order to ask Ari Flasher, quack, quack, those difficult questions. So that was really great. But not one reporter asked them, well, why didn't the president pursue such an adventure when he had the opportunity in the National Guard?
Yeah, really?
No one stood up. I mean, that was the perfect opportunity to bring up that issue.
Well, Ari Fleischer would have answered by saying, the president served in uniform with an Air National Guard unit, fulfilled his obligation. Next question.
Right. Let's see. All right. My third point was my girlfriend, my fiance, had beat me while I was on hold. So I hope you're listening, sweetie. I love you.
What's your name?
Erica.
Hey, Erica. David is driving through North Carolina, honey.
He's on his way home.
You're on your way home.
Oh yes.
Oh well. Where at in North Carolina are you, David?
Well, since I believe in the conspiracy theory,
you're not going to say anything. No, they'll put a heat-seeking missile on your ass, so don't say a word.
Actually, I'm going to start going by my God-given CB name of Kodak, and I think I can give you an honorary title. I'm just going to start calling you Mike Malloy, the Pit Bull.
The Pit Bull. that's good for me, David. That's fine. All right, listen, drive safely.
Yes, why, thank you.
All right.
Let me get back to the program. It's really great tonight.
All right, David.
Take your show on the road.
Yeah, well, maybe someday. All right, David.
All right, now, thanks a lot.
Drive safely. Appreciate you checking in. Pit Bull, the story Dave is talking about, New York Post reports it this way. Looters have plundered seven atomic sites in Iraq that contained deadly nuclear materials, radioactive waste, and biohazards. U.S. officials admitted yesterday, saying it is impossible to tell how much is missing from the plants and who has run off with what. Can you believe this? In one case, impoverished villagers carted away barrels filled with radioactive waste to use them to store drinking water, tomatoes, and milk. Oh, God. In another case, hundreds of biologically modified flies set loose by looters stealing air conditioning units. Biologically modified flies? What in the hell is that? Have they been modified to carry little nuclear bombs under their little tiny bellies? What? The Post goes on. Worse? What the hell could be worse than this? Worse, officials fear the country's most dangerous nuclear technologies may now be beyond anyone's knowledge and control. Oh, I get it. The weapons of mass destruction have been dispersed by these crazy old goofy Iraqis who want to store drinking water, tomatoes, and milk in the containers. That's it. There you go. At Iraq's main Al-Tuwaitha nuclear site near Kut, looters stripped the plant bare of computers, furniture, and equipment. Before the war, U.N. weapons inspectors cataloged tons of enriched uranium suitable for making nuclear weapons at the site. It is unknown how much has been taken, but a U.S. Army unit reported a door to one of the nuclear storage areas had been breached. Does that mean opened? Since then, scores of Iraqi civilians have poured in. Oddly, none have come back out. Meanwhile, villagers living near the site made off with metal drums that were used to store deadly spent fuel. Oh, this is great. This is great. One Iraqi scientist said tons of uranium, known as yellow cakes, were stored in the barrels. He said the barrels had appeared all over the region, now being used to store water, milk, and cooking utensils. Another scientist warned of an environmental disaster after looters released hundreds of screwworm flies that were being bred by Iraq's nuclear authorities to be used as, quote, biological farming insecticides, end quote. What the hell are they talking about? What is this? What is this gibberish? What planet am I on? New York Post! Headline, nuclear looters on the loose. Oh, Jesus. Oh. Genetically modified screwworm flies. Okay. That's a good one. People using radioactive waste containers to store milk. And there's a cholera epidemic blooming in Basra. Kurt is calling from Coshocton, Ohio. Hey, Kurt.
Dead Al Malloy. You're right on target tonight.
Yeah. Well, just call me Pitbull, dude.
Oh, I'll tell you. Where do you start?
Well, start someplace.
Oh, man, I'll tell you. Boy, his appearance on the aircraft carrier, what a man of humility.
A man of humility?
Oh, yeah, there you go, you know.
Well, like a lot of people have suggested, you know, Bush had a chance to do all that fancy-ass stuff back when he was, 21, 22, 23 years old, when his number came up and he ducked into the Texas Air National Guard Champaign unit and then deserted his unit. He could have had all the carrier landings he wanted.
Yeah, well, you know, we need a leader like Nelson Mandela that knows what it's all about.
Nelson Mandela?
Yeah, you know, somebody that's prison for, his beliefs and wasn't born with a silver spoon, you know.
Yeah, but Nelson Mandela is a communist.
What do you think so?
Well, he was part of the African National Congress, and according to the Reagan administration, that was nothing but a communist organization.
Well, he's working for the betterment of the people, though, you know.
Well, I hear that. Sure, I know what you're saying.
I wish I would have called in Monday night. My internet connection's been on the blink. I had to try to download you. It takes about 5 hours.
Well, what you need to do, Kurt, is call your one of your local radio stations there in Coshocton, Ohio, and just say, look, I want this program on your radio station.
Right? Well, that'd be nice. You know, I looked into getting a Sirius system for the car or something, you know.
Well, that's another thing to do. I'm suggesting to people, we're checking into it, to buy a Sirius satellite radio a device, whatever the hell it is. I don't know. And then sign up for satellite radio.
Yeah, it'd be worth it, I think.
Get rid of all those.
You're really doing a great job. I love the show.
Thanks, Kurt. Glad you checked in.
Yep.
All right, sir. Take care. Tom is calling from Mesa, Arizona. Tom, this your first time calling?
Yeah, it is, Mike.
Welcome to the program, sir.
Hey, Pitbull, what's up?
Hey, you are.
Hey, I just, I can't believe these neocons, man. They have mastered the art of divide and conquer. And that's exactly what they have done, is divided everyone. Probably best if Kucinich did go as an independent. I mean, he needs to separate himself from the Democrats because they're no longer the party that they once were. And Kucinich would be much better off going as an independent and working the grassroots segment.
You can make a strong argument for that. I would like to see Kucinich stay in the Democratic Party. I would like to see the Democratic Party leadership get behind Kucinich because Kucinich is the only, and I'm starting to feel this way. I waffled a bit on Dean, but I'm starting to feel that Kucinich really is The only ass-kicking Democrat in the crowd here, Dean was in favor of NAFTA, which meant driving jobs out of this country. Dean was an anti-environmentalist where it concerned the state of Vermont when he was governor. The Green Party has put out an awful lot of information on Dean, all of which is factual and backed up by his records. So it's pretty much to me, Dean. Now, I'm sorry, Kucinich. I know there's a lot of Dean supporters out there, and God bless you. I hope you continue to support your man. But at some point, I think if you do enough research, you'll find out that Dean might not be the Democrat you think he is, which is not a reason not to support him. I'm going to support him. But yeah. Kucinich is the person, I think, at this point, whose record indicates that he is a true Democrat. I've gotten enough Democrats really angry with me so far. I don't want the anger to continue. I'm just one little voter, but I'm pretty sure where my vote's going to go.
Well, I think I agree with you, but
and my money.
Yeah, true. But I'm just afraid that the DNC would try to sabotage anything other than the one that they have chosen for them.
Well, of course.
So that's why I say if an independent, as an independent, he could rally the votes that's necessary to actually win the election.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, the Republicans have 12 years of practice at divide and conquer, and
sure.
they have absolutely won no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But it's time to get into the trenches and actually... another thing I don't understand is, Kucinich could get out there and do exactly what Clinton did in 1992... and that was to go ahead and get the kids out to vote. You remember Rock the Vote.
Right,
I mean,
right.
92 was an awesome year. I mean, you had Clinton out there playing a saxophone. He had the charisma. You get this man in the right spotlight, and I think he can handle it.
Well, this is the only problem that I can see with Dennis Kucinich in this media age, and that is he's no Bill Clinton. Nobody was a Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton reminded me of just any aging rock star. Bill Clinton knew how to work a crowd. He was, he could do that all shucks thing. He could absolutely captivate you, even if you thought that he was a sneaky, weaselly bastard who was trying to export jobs out of this country. He was, a big supporter of NAFTA, got started in Bush's administration,
all right.
Got signed into law in Clinton's.
But
he was slick. They didn't call him Slick Willie for nothing. But that charisma, regardless whether you like him, hate him, neutral, I liked him. I swear to God I did. I hated some of his policies, but there was no way I couldn't like Bill Clinton. It was just impossible. But he had that, I think in television they call it the Q factor. The camera loved him. The audience loved him. Dennis has got a problem. Dennis has got a problem in this media age. If you just listen to Dennis, he's a winner. If you go into an auditorium and listen to him speak, he's a winner. But a television camera is a brutal piece of electronic equipment. It will just slice you and dice you. And
that's the thing
I'm afraid of with Dennis.
All I can say in defense of that is a PR firm is what put Bush where he's at now anyway. So if you can get Kucinich or with the right PR people and they can, beef up his persona.
Well, if you don't mind my disagreeing, it wasn't a PR firm. It was five justices on the Supreme Court.
Well, I stand corrected.
but I know what you meant.
But, I mean, come on. I mean, they're making this guy out looking like he's a war hero, like he's Napoleon coming in off a battlefield here.
Right.
And it's just totally disgusting what is going on.
That's so true.
And it's all because of the media. And the media, it needs to be...
Oh, God, I hate him.
Well, I mean, you're the only vote. It's you and a very select few are the only voices left out there that haven't given in and haven't succumbed to the, to what has happened. And it'll be a sad day in this country when you can't speak your mind freely and without judgment. So.
Yeah, I hear that.
But
hey, listen.
Great talking to you, Mike.
Oh, Tom, I'm glad you called in. I think you're our first caller from Mesa, Arizona. I hope you call again. Thanks for finding the program.
Hey, thanks a lot.
All right, sir. Take care. Richard Pearl, at some point, I've got to get into the Defense Policy Board, the people who, story after story is coming out. L.A. Times today had a lengthy story, not that lengthy, but fairly lengthy, on the Defense Policy Board, that group of advisors to the Pentagon who are... I toss a lot of terms around on this program. These people are real blood drinkers. These are beyond vampires. These people will instigate wars. They will instigate killing and slaughter in order to make money. It is just unreal. I If this were a totally internet program, I could really let you know what I really think about these people, you know. But because we also are carried by radio stations, it's very difficult to get down and nasty about how I feel about these people. But I want to talk about that a little bit coming, maybe after the top of the next hour. Quick break here. We'll take your calls when we come back. Stay with us. Malloy here.
Strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Quit smoking in 7 days? Now you can with Release HD, the all-natural homeopathic medicine now available without a prescription, designed to break your addiction to nicotine in just 7 days guaranteed. Listen to what internationally recognized Dr. Richard Cohen has to say about Release HD.
The beauty of the homeopathic medicine in the Release HD system is that it deals with the suffering, eases the withdrawal symptoms, and can take away the jitters. I strongly recommend Release HD to anyone who wants to quit smoking.
It's never too late to stop. The Release HD system goes to work immediately, stopping nicotine cravings, irritability, and withdrawals. Release HD is different from gums and patches because it works from the inside out, giving your body the nutrients it needs to break free. You can quit. Do it the easy way with Release HD.
Call Release HD now for your free trial offer. 1-800-519-5717 and quit smoking for good in 7 days guaranteed. Do it today with Release HD. 1-800-519-5717. That's 1-800-519-5717. Call now.
The place to be for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network. The Doug Seff and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Thank you.
things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Hey, here's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
hey, Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Finally, the majority has a voice in talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, Mary is calling from Skokie, Illinois. Hey, Mary.
Hi, Mike. I'm going to have to do something that I hardly ever do.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
I'm going to have to disagree with you on something.
Well, go right ahead.
I noticed that it's sort of scary to do that because usually you're sort of... so right on. Everything.
No, don't be that way. Anybody who agrees with me 100% better, I don't know. Maybe
you don't need ditto heads.
See their therapist. Yeah. Yeah. So
what I wanted to disagree with was your ranting earlier about Tony Blair's religion and George Bush's religion.
Right.
I have been a Tony Blair watcher in all of this. He's been one of the most fascinating aspects of the whole war situation.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to figure out what he's doing and where he's coming from has been a big interest of mine. And one thing that's very clear, I have an article here from the Times magazine of London.
Right.
It's actually titled Bush and Blair, Attraction of Opposites. It says here, both are religious men, but it's perilous to suggest religion as a shared source of friendship. Different Christian backgrounds divide as much as differences in politics. They're very different. Tony Blair is an educated Anglican with depth
right.
and knowledge
sure.
and intelligence. Pardon?
Sure, absolutely.
He's not a dumb American fundamentalist. He's
right.
very different.
Right.
And if he said things like that he will, stand in front of his maker or something, that's just saying that he takes responsibility and feels accountable. It's just religious talk that everybody recognizes.
Well,
doesn't mean that the way George Bush might mean it.
Right. I do understand that. The part that bothers me, whether it is Tony Blair being an Anglican or some snake handler up here in the North Georgia mountains who drinks lye and expects his esophagus not to disintegrate. Anybody who uses, this is just my opinion, anybody who uses the Christian faith in a manner other than the way it was explained, not by Paul, but by Christ,
yeah.
to me, is either a fraud or a charlatan or a hypocrite.
And so, by definition, the whole war thing is not Christian. Is that what you're...
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Christ was a peacemaker.
Right.
Jesus Christ said, turn the other cheek.
I know.
Any of these people who say, well, yeah, we slaughtered a whole bunch of people today, but I will be willing to stand before God. You know what's going to... If there is a God in Tony Blair's universe, I would imagine that God is going to be so angry that he's going to grab Tony around his neck and hurl him into hell. Now, let me put you on hold and I'll come back because I know you got more to say. We got a quick break here. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
I get things in my mind and I say, let's try this.
Hey, here's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
Hello.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. The inspection of a suspected mobile biolab in Iraq continues. Undersecretary of Defense Stephen Cambone says the tractor-trailer truck may have been part of a mobile biological weapons lab system. Cambone told a Pentagon news briefing that it had been painted in military color scheme. He said it does not appear to have any functional use other than as an illicit mobile lab. However, U.S. and British analysts are still working to confirm that. Cambone called it a tough, laborious process. He said the truck was pretty thoroughly washed out. The chief prosecutor in the case of Washington, D.C. area sniper suspect Lee Boyd Malvo is praising a judge's decision over his alleged confession. Fairfax County Circuit Judge Jane Roush will allow most of Malvo's confession to be admissible at his November trial. Fairfax County Prosecutor Robert Horan says he thinks the two-hour taped interview of Malvo will prove insightful to the jury.
Lawyers can talk about it all they want, but ultimately the 12 citizens have to say what it means to them.
Malvo's defense team had argued to have their client's alleged confession thrown out of trial. Malvo faces capital murder charges in the shooting death of FBI analyst Linda Franklin. She was shot outside a home improvement store last October at the height of the sniper shootings. Malvo's alleged accomplice John Allen Muhammad faces capital murder charges in nearby Prince William County for another shooting. U.S. intelligence officials say there has been slight increases of activity around a North Korean nuclear plant. However, the White House contends no hard conclusions have been made that this activity means the communist country is reprocessing nuclear fuel for weapons use. The Washington Post has reported that Pyongyang is nearly finished reprocessing thousands of spent fuel rods that can be used to fuel atomic bombs.
Do you haggle at the dollar store? Mm-hmm. Do you think penny candy is far too expensive?
Yes.
Do you look for change in other people's couches?
Yes.
If you answered yes to any of these questions, yes, then you, my penny-pinching friend, are our kind of customer.
Yeah.
Because Hotwire.com can save you up to 75% on hotel rooms. Hotwire gets you a 4-star hotel for a 2-star price. So remember, if you're the type of person who runs your paper plates through the dishwasher, then Hotwire is for you.
Hotwire.com. Fly, sleep, drive. Cheap.
It's almost Mother's Day, and you know what that means. It's time to pick up the phone. A new Verizon wireless phone for mom from Radio Shack. Get her the Samsung A310 for just $24.99 after Samsung mail-in rebate. That's a $75 savings. Radio Shack's experts will even help you choose the service plan and accessories mom will love. So pick up the phone and make mom's day at Radio Shack. Offer good through 525 with 2-year activation. $175 early termination fees apply. Phone is $249.99 without activation. See stores for details.
SARS appears to be more deadly than first thought. The World Health Organization is sending a team to rural Hebei province in China after infection rates doubled there in the past week. The U.S. also is stepping up its prevention efforts, as reported by Priscilla Huff.
The British medical journal Lancet reports death rates averaging 50% for patients over age 60, based on a study of 1,425 SARS cases in Hong Kong. Chinese officials are so worried about SARS, they're quarantining the pets of people who've been infected, fearing the animals could transmit the disease. China's also won a promise from U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Tommy Thompson for more help. And the U.S. is taking its own steps to halt SARS. With the New York Times reporting, immigration officials have been authorized to detain passengers showing symptoms of SARS. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lab number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
The National Weather Service is predicting continued severe weather for much of the south, even as damage estimates from weekend storms continue to mount. Meteorologist Walt Zaleski says conditions are ripe for continued severe weather.
Well, looking at the long-term weather pattern for the next, say, 7 to 10 days, it does appear that the atmospheric conditions will be favorable for the potential of severe thunderstorms to develop across the south, which this time of year historically is the greatest threat of severe weather.
For almost a week, several southern and midwestern states have been battered by severe thunderstorms, hail, and tornadoes. Flooding is now becoming a major concern. More than 40 deaths are being blamed on the severe weather. Stocks finished mostly lower today, with all three major markets finishing down for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 27 points to 85.60. The NASDAQ moved down by 17 points to 15.06, and the S&P 500 was off 4 to 9.29. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Kids fight over toys, and mom says share. Good advice for the playground and the road. When I come back, we'll talk peaceful coexistence between cars and motorcycles.
We're at the track asking drivers why they recommend Champion Platinum Power spark plugs. Here comes Matt Kenseth and his Ford. Matt, why do you trust Champion? He said Champion provides long-lasting power. Here comes Dale Earnhardt Jr. and his Chevy. Dale said Champion has the right technology. So use Champion in your car no matter what make it is. Champion, the world's favorite spark plug. What'd he say?
Get new Champion Platinum Power spark plugs at a leading auto parts store or retailer near you.
Global detente's important, but drivers of four-wheel vehicles and two-wheeled motorcycles could use some local negotiation in sharing the road. Here's a start. Cyclist, act like full-sized vehicles by claiming road space nearer centerline, encouraging drivers to pass with a wider berth. Four-wheeled vehicles, don't move to one side to see what's going on in slow traffic. Stick to the middle of your lane. This position discourages cyclists from weaving between cars. Now that's shuttle diplomacy. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We're talking with Mary in Skokie, Illinois, and this issue of Bush's and Blair's Christianity came up. And
right. Well, I want to bring up a couple of pieces of things that aren't tremendously well known. One is this made, you know, there's so many items of news that pop up and seem big and then just disappear.
Right, right.
And the Sun-Times, just a couple of weeks ago, had a front-page spread saying that Tony Blair and Bill Clinton had been on the phone to each other right before we invaded Iraq, and that because of the conversation between Blair and Clinton, Clinton had then called Bush and tried to intervene and...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Did you get that piece of news?
I did not. I wouldn't be surprised, though, because Clinton and Blair were more on the same level.
Exactly.
They're both internationalists. They're both coalition builders. They are both intelligent.
Yes.
They were both elected to their positions, and they had an 8-year long, or not an 8-year long, but
yeah.
But a long friendship.
Right.
So I wouldn't be surprised. But no,
Bill,
I heard nothing about it.
It was on the front page and actually a big headline.
Chicago Sun Times.
In the Sun Times, and then it disappeared.
Right.
But what was interesting was, it did happen in the news there, and the Bush administration never complained about it or anything. They're not, I mean, obviously they don't want it all that well known. But Bill was trying to push George to give more time to the inspectors. That was what he was trying to do based on Tony Blair. What I'm trying to look to here is, what is Tony Blair really up to I believe, and this is partly coming from being his particular religious view as an Anglican, I'm Episcopalian, so I'm aware
right.
of this,
mm-hmm.
we focus very much on keeping people together and not having any schisms,
right.
not having any break apart.
Right.
And I believe that Tony Blair sees himself as holding the world together. You can't really hang out with the Bush administration without going along with them. If you disagree with them, you're dead.
Sure.
And so Tony Blair, I believe, sees himself as holding the UN together and stopping the United States from going too far into unilateralism. I think that's what he's up to.
Well, that's an interesting point of view. If that is his goal or his objective, I think he's going to be steamrollered because it's not, you know, Bush being as ignorant and out of the loop as Bush is where it concerns normal human discourse, Bush is the vehicle that these other people are using in a much more blatant way than say Ronald Reagan was. Bush goes along with it. Bush is a bully. He's a pipsqueak, and he's very easy to manipulate when the boys manipulating him are telling him that he's being a real man,
right.
a real macho individual.
Sure.
Let's go in there and start shooting and killing. I don't think Tony Blair, if that is his objective or his goal, I don't think he has an Ice Cube's chance in hell, Mary, because he's not just working with Bush. He's working with the monsters behind Bush.
I know, but I think that he's hanging on and hoping that we can just survive Bush and get back to a normal presidency in the next couple of years.
The
thing is that if things break up, if the U.S. leaves the U.N., it will be much harder for us to pull things back together. And I think he's hoping, you know, that this is a temporary mm-hmm. thing, that Bush is not in for long.
Well, excuse me.
I think Bill Clinton is more his style.
That's a good theory. I hope you're right. I hope if that is what's going on, I hope Tony Blair succeeds. You'll understand my pessimism.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Mary, thanks for checking in.
Okay.
All right. You have a nice evening. Now, I just want to get to this for a second before I go back to your calls. The Defense Policy Board. That's this collection of roughly 30 people in the weapons industry, the death industry. They are former military people. They are former not military people. They're killers and destroyers. These are people who make your average run-of-the-mill 18th century church graveyard ghoul look honorable. Now, the Defense Policy Board is described as a group of outside advisors to the Pentagon. According to the LA Times, they got a classified presentation from the Super Secret Defense Intelligence Agency back in February on crises in both North Korea and Iraq. 3 weeks after that presentation, the then chairman of the board, Richard Perle, offered a briefing of his own at an investment seminar on ways to profit from the conflicts in both countries. You see what I'm saying? When you look in literature, a novel, I'm trying to think of one, Kant. Maybe Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. I don't know. But the graveyard ghouls, the people who would break into the old church graveyards, rip open rotting coffins and steal bodies and then sell the body parts. Those people were angels of mercy compared to Richard Perle and the Defense Policy Board. How to make money on death and destruction, societal disruption. How to make money on the ending of another country. Now, Perle and his fellow advisors also heard a classified address about high-tech military communication systems at the same closed-door session in February. And Perle runs a venture capital firm that has been exploring investments in that very area. More money to be made on death and destruction, murder, mayhem, disruption, disease. Now, March 27, you'll remember, big deal, Richard Perle has resigned as board chairman. That doesn't mean anything. He's still there. He still runs it. But he resigned his position as board chairman after published reports that he had been employed as a consultant by Global Crossing, which is now a bankrupt telecommunications firm, that was trying to get Pentagon clearance so it could be sold to Asian investors and everything that goes with Global Crossing Telecom. The reports also had Pearl soliciting investment money from a Saudi who was seeking to influence U.S. policy on Iraq. Richard Pearl is an eater of dead flesh. He's a drinker of other people's blood. This guy is just, look at his face next time he's on television, that bloated round face. You know he's a cannibal. You know he is. Just look at him. Pearl is considered to be one of Washington's most influential chaos, war, and destruction thinkers. Leading supporter in the war in Iraq, close to Rumsfeld, and Rumsfeld top deputy Wolfowitz, as well as to Undersecretary of Defense Douglas Feith. Pearl was, at one time, making money as a consultant to the government of Turkey. This man is filthy. This man is disgusting. He serves on the board of several weapons contractors. He's a lead player in Trireme Partners, a venture capital fund seeking investments in the weapons and homeland security industries. He thrives. He makes money on death, destruction, chaos, disease, dead people. Now, the 30-member Defense Policy Board, which is infested with vampires. Where in the hell is Buffy when you need her? Where is she? Why is she not there running stakes into these bastards' hearts? The Defense Policy Board meets regularly with Rumsfeld. The meetings are classified and members are allowed access to top secret intelligence reports. Are you allowed access to top? No! Am I? Hell no! But these vampires are. Last February, 6 weeks ago, two speakers showed up there. Henry Skokalski of something called the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center and Michael Pillsbury, a Pentagon advisor. They gave presentations to this group of vampires on the risks and prospects of U.S. conflict with North Korea. The same day, the Defense Intelligence Agency, super secret, works for the Pentagon, also brief these vampires on North Korea and Iraq. 3 weeks later, Richard Pearl, this eater of dead flesh, participated in a Goldman Sachs conference call in which he advised investors on opportunities tied to the war in Iraq. Now, why is this criminal, filthy Bush administration, well, why ask the question, Malloy, getting advice and from vampires like this? We have 137 U.S. servicemen dead. Uncounted thousands of Iraqis dead. So these people can make money. Now, this is not normal war profiteering. These, here comes a bad word, sons of bitches provoke the war to make money. Now, I don't know what you call that. I don't know what you call that. War profiteering is one thing, but these people cause the war. Fred Eichel. Some of you remember that name. He worked at the Pentagon under Reagan. He joined this board of vampires in August 2001. He said he was not troubled by Pearl's talk with Goldman Sachs about investment possibilities on death and destruction. Eichel said, anyone who has been reading the newspapers for the past year knows about the crisis in North Korea. There was nothing discussed at the board meeting that was news. Now, if you believe that, then you're a fool. But these people meet all the time. They are not paid. The Defense Policy Board members are not paid. Why should they? But they are subject to government ethics prohibitions that bar the use of public office for private gain. You have got to be kidding me.
They are required to file a disclosure form with the Pentagon listing their business interests. These forms are then classified so that nobody can see them. Now there's more. But we shall take a little break here for some commercials, and let me try to calm down, because I know you're tired of me screaming at you tonight. I do apologize, but I am just riled up tonight. I just can't help it. I guess it was seeing my great leader, George W. Bush, land on that aircraft carrier last Thursday, and I just haven't recovered yet. I guess that's it. I don't know. Maybe it's sad, or else I'm having a nervous breakdown. That could be.
Quack, quack.
She finally got across to the crazy little demon that a woman still a boss. Down in the valley on the foggy hill rock, you can still hear the demon blowing his top. You did a
every day at Domino's, you get something free. A cheesy, gooey pizza and great taste we guarantee. Delivered hot, fresh, and steamy, you'll feel like you're in Waikiki. Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one topping pizza free.
Right now at Domino's, it's 2-for-1 pizza days. Buy any large pizza at menu price, get a medium one topping pizza free. What a deal.
Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one topping pizza free.
Get the door. It's 2-for-1 pizza days at Domino's. Limited time offer, prices and terms may vary.
There are over 70 million Americans who suffer from arthritis. But for arthritis pain relief, there's only one Aleve, the medicine more and more doctors are recommending for all-day relief of pain. Doctors know Aleve can stop tough pain all day with fewer pills than Tylenol. And Aleve works right at the site of arthritis to provide fast, effective relief. Get relief doctors recommend. Aleve, arthritis pain relief that's all day strong, all day long. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain. Comparisons based on minimum 24-hour label dosing.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to ieamericaradio.com. I'll be there.
Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Twenty-four past the hour. Yeah, we're talking about Richard Pearl. You can tell by the music. Now, again, the Defense Policy Board members are not paid. They don't have to be. They make literally hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, trading on the deaths of American servicemen and women, civilians, other people's soldiers, other countries' soldiers. It's just so vile. I know I overuse the word vile, don't I? Huh? But with some of these people, it's like they are not human. And I'm not trying to be, what's the word? Quick, Kathy. I'm not trying to over-dramatize. I'm not trying to use a hyperbole or some kind of blown-up rhetoric. These people are killers. They are disrespecters of life. They are vampires. They feast on the deaths of other people. So the Defense Policy Board members are required to file a disclosure form with the Pentagon, listing their business interests. And the forms are classified and not made public. That you could make the supposition, and I'm making it right now, that when those business interest forms are filed, then the Pentagon decides who to attack next. Well, who shall we go kill? What country should we invade so that the boys on the Defense Policy Board and us make money? Oh, as far as the U.S. service personnel? Oh, screw them. They're just cannon fodder. They don't care. They're 19-year-old punks. Documents from early July 2001 show that Pearl and his partners hoped to raise $500 million, which they plan to invest in emerging growth companies in the area of weapons and aerospace weapons. That was right around the time Rumsfeld appointed Pearl chairman of that board. He was forming his new investment fund. Think about that for a second, if you would, if you don't mind. I mean, how would you react? I don't know. If somebody called you up, somebody who was a multi-millionaire, very well-connected, and said, look, I'm putting together an investment firm because there's going to be a lot of killing and death and destruction over the next 4 or 5 years, and there's plenty of money to be made. Would you like a piece? Now, could you do it? Could you do it? I would track the son of a bitch down that made the phone call to me and kill him, and then I would spend the rest of my life in prison. It's just outrageous, isn't it? Or am I just overreacting? Membership on this board, the Defense Policy Board, according to its charter, quote, will consist primarily of private sector individuals with distinguished backgrounds in national security affairs, end quote. Pearl worked at the Pentagon during the Reagan years. He's a resident fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. He has advised members of Congress. He's frequently called to testify at hearings on Capitol Hill about war, death, and destruction. Now, as far as this company, Trireme, the New Yorker magazine first reported on Pearl's involvement with that company while he was serving as chairman of the Defense Policy Board. That was a story written by Seymour Hersh that revealed that Pearl had met with Adnan Khashoggi. He's the Saudi arms dealer who was the go-between for the Iran-Contra affair that resulted in 200,000 Central Americans slaughtered by people like Richard Pearl. Pearl also met with Saudi arms dealer and businessman Arbsalah Zuhair. He was looking for money from these killers, these arms, weapons dealers, these purveyors of death, destruction, and chaos. A letter sent to Khashoggi highlighted Pearl's position on the Defense Policy Board. Hey, this is Richard Pearl. He has an in to the other killers and vampires. You want to make some money? Huh? You want to make some money, Mr. Saudi millionaire? Sign on with me. I know I'm Jewish and you're a Muslim, but what the hell? Let's set it aside for a few years and all of us get rich on death and destruction. My God, and we let this continue.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. Workers who were injured on the job at Ground Zero in the weeks following September 11, 2001, began a week-long hunger strike outside the offices of New York Governor George Pataki yesterday. The hunger strikers say the governor's done little to help workers and residents of Lower Manhattan who were affected by toxic air following the collapse of the towers. They're demanding an investigation into the long-term effects of World Trade Center air pollution, as well as treatment for those affected. The hunger strikers are joined by low-income New Yorkers who are demanding an overhaul of the state's workers' compensation board. Workers' comp cases in New York sometimes take 8 years or longer to resolve, and the protesters are demanding a maximum review time of 3 months.
The Federal Mine Safety Health Administration is resurrecting a proposal that would increase the level of airborne dust allowed in coal mines. The United Mine Workers Union is leading opposition to the rulemaking, worried that the increase will result in a new rash of cases of black lung disease. The U.S. Department of Labor is also skeptical of the idea. Officials there have already spoken critically about the proposal and say they will not permit breathable coal dust levels to be increased. The original rulemaking effort was scuttled 3 years ago for the same concerns.
Workers at a suburban Boston movie theater are holding the line as their Wildcat strike enters its seventh day. Projectionists at the Somerville Theater walked off the job May 1st, forming a picket line outside the Boston Independent Film Fest. Police were dispatched to the scene and a melee ensued, and while no one was arrested, a number of strike leaders were injured. Despite this, the projectionists say they'll continue to strike for the recognition of their union, the International Association of Theatrical Stage Employees, with whom they hope to win health insurance, improvements to minimum wage pay, and protection against breathing hazardous polyester dust.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do being on the tractor as much time as I do or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah, you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, big scare, huh? 27 before the hour. I'm almost finished with this.
I will post this at my website tonight so you can read it yourself from the L.A. Times today. Just go to MikeMalloy.net, MikeMalloy.com, whatever. Click on the I know, it's a crappy website. It's going to be replaced very soon. Click on Daily Program Topics. It'll be there under Wednesday's programs, okay? Or Wednesday's topics. Almost done. Now, Richard Pearl is not the only member of this Defense Policy Board who has business interests in the kill sector of our economy, in the weapons, in the destruction sector. A report by the Center for Public Integrity identified eight other members who have ties to major weapons contractors. Think about that for a second. U.S. foreign policy being dictated by vampires who sit on a private board but are given government briefings to the extent that you can't get them, I can't get them, members of Congress can't get these briefings. And then they form their position papers based on those briefings, and then they go to Rumsfeld and the rest of these living dead, and they say, well, time to attack Iraq, because there's a lot of money to be made. Time to attack North Korea, a lot of money to be made. Time to go after Iran, Syria, Libya, Cuba. For example, here on other members of the Defense Policy Board, who are vampires, who feast on dead American and whoever else flesh, retired Navy Admiral David Jeremiah, good name, is a director or advisor for at least five companies that have received more than $10 billion in Pentagon contracts in 1 year, in 2002. Think about that. Another one here, another vampire, Chris Williams, a former national security advisor to, oh, for Christ's sake, Trent Lott. And Rumsfeld's former acting Undersecretary of Defense for Policy. This guy, Chris Williams, is a lobbyist for a number of kill companies, including Boeing. Fred Eichel, the former Reagan Pentagon thug, who now sits on the board, says, well, you know, people on the board are there pro bono, and they have to make a living. We file a disclosure form that is reviewed by government ethics advisors, and if there's a problem, well, it has to be taken care of, you know? Oh, my God. They file the forms with the Bush crime family. Oh, jeez. It just doesn't stop, does it? It never stops. But why do we, as American citizens, allow this to continue? I mean, these people make the high command of the Third Reich look like pikers. And that's a hell of a thing to say, given the fact that the members of the Third Reich were responsible for 50 million deaths. That's how many people, I understand, died as a result of World War II. But this group that now controls this country, they have plans to go way beyond that. Because there's money to be made in the death business, in the war business, in the killing and pillaging business. And as far as those troops, those 250,000 American troops who were sent over there to make profits for the Defense Policy Board members and Halliburton and the rest of these people, oh, to hell with them. That's just cannon fodder. Screw those 19-year-olds. What do they know? Give them a gun, teach them to kill, and send them over there and tell them they're fighting for their wives and their mothers and the American flag. They will do exactly what we filthy white male punks back here in the United States tell them to do. And we will all get rich. We will use these white boys and these black boys and these brown boys to go kill other people, and we will get rich. And that's exactly what they're doing. So what are you and I doing about it? Okay, I'm all done now. Thank you very much for listening to me rant on and on about the Defense Policy Board and the vampires who are feasting on dead flesh. Well, it's not dead until they sink their fangs in, and then it's dead. But thank you very much. Okay, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Joe's calling from Paris, Texas. Hey, Joe.
I'm all right.
Hey. What's up?
Well, I can tell you what. One reason. You can send all them people down here to Texas. I mean, that's about it. Everybody I know.
You know, Texas.
Everybody I know. Let me tell you, a typical Republican from Texas, and this is a college-educated, pretty educated. I went to a dentist here a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we done had it out about in 2000. About well, everybody in there was going to vote for Bush.
Right.
And I let them know I was a goer, and I really got into it. It was for one dental hygienist. Winter did the same morph, too. Well, a couple weeks ago, I went back. Anyway, it's like right after the Dixie Chicks appeared on TV.
Right.
And she asked me about it. She brought it up. And I said, well, I don't watch TV. I said, I don't watch that propaganda.
Right.
And, but anyway, I heard that they had pretty much held her own on it, from what I heard.
Sure.
And anyway, I told her that, I asked her this question, and we went on a little bit about that. And she said something about, well, don't you think it's good that the Iraqi people are free? And I said, what? I said,
Joe, stop. Listen to me, pal. Listen to me. You cannot talk to people who start their conversation by saying, well, what about the fact the Iraqi people are free? You can't do it. You know what's going to happen, Joe? You're going to bust an artery. Okay? Or you're going to have one of those Vietnam flashbacks, and nobody wants that to happen because, Joe, you know, you've been in combat. I don't want to pick up the paper and see Joe went berserk and wiped out about 30 people, including a dental hygienist. You understand what I'm saying, pal? Don't ask those kinds of questions.
I got you, Mark.
Stay away from those people, Joe.
You come on. I can't get outside. I still lock myself in my pub.
That's it. Stay in your house. Stay in the basement. Lock the doors. Get an attack dog.
But I asked her, well, I said, I've been wanting to ask somebody vote for Bush. What do you think about the Patriot Act?
Mm-hmm.
And I explained a little bit about it, and I mentioned Patriot Act too, and said, "Well, you got me there."
Yeah, you got me. Yeah.
About that.
Oh, damn, Joe, you got me there. Here, now lean back. Lean back. Let me clean them old teeth. Damn, boy, I don't know what you're talking about. Shut up. Shut up. Joe, I got
this is a college-educated lady now.
I understand, Joe. I understand. Give it up. Listen, Texas is going. Listen, Texas is sinking, my man. Do you know?
My vote don't count.
No, of course not. But let me tell you something, Joe. Your Texas legislature and your Texas Supreme Court and your Texas governor down there, all Republicans, they are pushing the state of Texas under the 60-foot-high swells in the sea. It is sinking. It is sinking. Texas is going absolutely bankrupt and down the commode. They're releasing people. They're cutting people off on Medicaid, state Medicaid, who are getting drug treatment for mental health problems, who are just on the edge to begin with. They're cutting everything. I mean, Molly Ivins writes that the whole damn state is just about to explode. That's Bush's Texas, where he did such a good job. Joe, I don't know what to tell you. Get the hell out of Texas, man. Just go a little bit north into Oklahoma. Come on. No, I know where you can move. There's a place called Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. I got a bureau chief out there named Nelson. Good man. Likes to hunt. You'd enjoy hanging out with Nelson. You got to get out of Texas, Joe. And
let me tell you something. We got a bill. We got one good Republican down here.
Yeah, who's that?
Hey, he introduced a bill concerning. Now, this is what Molly Allen wrote about. I don't know about it. I just read about it. But the bill is concerning pubic hairs.
Oh, that's right. I saw that story, and I don't know what Molly Ivins is talking about because she said in her column she can't get into it. But apparently,
that's going to help our $10 million deficit. It's a heck of a bunch, then.
Well, apparently, this dude doesn't like pubic hair or something. I don't know. Joe, I got to move on, pal.
All right.
Hey, listen, drink some herbal tea. Calm down. Damn. All right?
you ain't doing me no good.
I'll talk to you later, Joe. Thanks for checking in. Joe gets way too emotional, doesn't he? Oh, Jesus. Alan is calling from Atlanta?
Hey, Mike. Mike?
How you doing, Alan?
I'm doing all right. I hate that I got to follow that. I mean, there's no way I'm going to be able to top that.
Joe's great, man. I love Joe. Joe is absolutely the cat's pajamas, man. I love Joe. I'll tell you what, when the barricades go up, I want to be right next to Joe. I want to be right next to him. We'll be loading each other's ammo. I'll tell you right now, pal.
I tell you, you forgot the words. You've been complaining about using words too much. So you forgot the words despicable and loathsome.
That's
about
true.
These people.
Vile, despicable, loathsome, murderers, killers, vampires, ghouls. I'm running out of words, man.
I mean, it's astounding. I mean, I can't believe that they don't tremble in their beds at night to think that there might be a just God.
Yeah, no kidding.
Out there, you know what I mean?
No kidding.
It's astounding.
But their concept of God is this huge, fire-snorting, white-skinned, demon-breathing monster whose bidding they are doing. I mean, these are sick people. These are sick, sick people.
Oh yeah, it's astounding. Well, you know, I'm calling because I went to the debates on Saturday. I just wanted to call you and let you know that I had gone. And you know I'm calling for Dean. I'm calling because we went up there. We had a group that went up to just kind of give him some love before he went into the debate.
Right.
I tell you, we had a really good time up there. And it was really interesting to note, and I don't know whether or not anybody said anything about it, because I've kind of been out of the loop on your show for the past couple of days and getting involved with some local politics.
Uh-huh.
There weren't any other people from any of the other campaigns on the ground.
Who in the hell wants to go to Columbia, South Carolina?
Well, I mean, I would think if they want their guys to get elected, that they would at least show up.
Well, I understand
and give some props to them, you know what I mean?
I do understand. And no offense to Columbia, South Carolina, I spent a month there one night. But it was in South Carolina was where John McCain was starting to become the Dragon Slayer. It was in South Carolina where John McCain was starting to stomp George Bush's ass. And it was in South Carolina where the Christian Coalition types, this little snake here in Georgia, what's his name? He used to run the Christian Coalition.
Ralph Reed.
Ralph Reed and the rest of these people, they got on the phone and they called voters in South Carolina and they said, here's what they said. Did you know that John McCain has a little black child he adopted? And the child happens to be, I think, from Bangladesh.
Right,
it doesn't make any damn difference that South Carolina is a racist, hate-filled state. They still have that. They still have that Stars and Bars sitting out there in front of the state house.
Well, you know what? It's interesting you say that because when we got there, there was a whole other group there that was protesting about. There was some big flag issue going on, and there were all these people, and they had all these flags waving and these great big signs up
sure.
saying,
oh, yeah.
Go home, carpetbagger, and
yeah,
I didn't really get the lowdown on what was going on, but it was certainly interesting.
Isn't it hell when you're from Atlanta and you might be accused of being a carpetbagger? I mean, is the world not turned upside down or what?
Well, and the funny thing was that the Republicans were the carpetbaggers.
Oh, yeah, well, that's true. That's true, back in the Civil War.
Right.
Absolutely. Oh, well. Hey, listen, I got a boogie.
All right.
Thanks for checking in, Alan.
All right,
sir. I appreciate your call. I just want to make it clear. I understand there's a lot of Dean supporters who listen to this program. And bless your heart, fight like hell to get your man, just to get your man's name on the ballot somewhere. Fight like hell to get him nominated at the Democratic Leadership Conference-controlled Democratic Convention that comes up next summer. Fight like hell, truly. Deep breath. Okay. David is calling from Talladega, Alabama. Hey, David.
Hey, Mike. I like your new time frame.
Hey, it makes the program available to a lot more people, I guarantee
right.
you.
Right. Beats Jay Leno.
There you go.
Okay. Hitler said he was willing to sign anything when he came into office. Then he said, I'm willing to do anything to advance the success of my policy,
right.
including the murder of thousands of political opponents.
Absolutely.
We've been comparing this administration to that, and it appears that way. America seemed to want to cast out demons around the world.
Mm-hmm.
When they will cast out demons, when they're not right themselves, they become possessed.
We got a house full of demons right here.
Right.
We just got a whole tribe of them. I mean, every time I see anybody in the Bush administration walking around, I always looked when they're walking away to see if that old nasty-ass demon tail is waving around in the back of their trousers. You know what I'm saying?
You know I do that. I'm not kidding. I've done that before.
You look for that tail.
I look for that tail. Not only on TV, in person, too. I've done that.
Oh, my
okay.
God.
Okay. I'll talk to you later, Mike.
All right, thanks, David. I appreciate your call. What? Dave and I are looking for demon tails on the backs of these people. Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. John is calling from Long Beach, California.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, John.
I have one complaint, small criticism.
Yeah?
I wish you would stop being so damn easy on these criminals in the White House.
Yeah, I know.
Nicey.
I know. Too much kissy face on this program,
and
right?
Now, the other thing is that fly we were talking about. What did you call that fly?
It's a screwworm fly.
Well, I think that's a misnomer.
No?
It's a screw you.
Is that what it is?
Because you pick it up, you're screwed.
Well, I don't for a minute believe the story. It's put out by if it's put out by anybody connected to the Bush crime family, that these screwworm flies were genetically modified so they can carry little nuclear bombs in their bellies. You know, to me that's nonsense. Let me put you on hold for a second. I'll come back. Got a break here. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
It's all in Twix. Yo, this is Ed Lover.
This is Dr. Dre.
That's right, we in the mix for Twix, baby. Here's the mix.
Ed, I'm going to tell you right now, all from state to state, it's all about the mix.
You understand? That's how it's going down. Ed Lover and Dr. Dre style. Rolling through the streets, just doing my thing. I need the Twix to keep me in the mix, in the swing. When I want to stay real good in the mix.
Come on, y'all.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24-7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by with good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. We are just about out of time here, but we're talking with John in Long Beach, California. Go ahead, John, put a cap on it for me.
Well, I only got about one more thing to add. I found that I was wrong in one of my assessments.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I was always thinking that the evil Nazi Cheney was the one pulling the strings behind... you know who.
Well, he's pulling some of the strings.
Yeah, the guy, that, apparently from what I'm reading now,
yeah,
is really the one behind this whole damn thing, Karl Rove.
Well, Rove is the master manipulator. He keeps Bush in line for the real murderous killers. Bush, don't forget, Bush essentially is a coward.
Oh, yeah.
He is a coward, he's a pissant, and he's a bully. Now, these other guys are not cowards. They will order up as much slaughter as they feel is necessary in order to make their money. But Bush is basically a coward. Bush could not give an order on his own if somebody paid him to do it. So that's where Karl Rove comes in. Karl Rove is the bridge between people like Cheney and Pearl and Rumsfeld. He's the bridge to this punk bully who occupies the Oval Office.
Well, I understand, though. Bush doesn't make a move unless it's okayed by Karl.
Absolutely.
Oh, well.
Hey, thanks for checking in.
Okey-dokey.
All right. Appreciate it, John. I just got too carried away tonight, but I figured I earned my $20 an hour tonight, by God. Do we have time just for one soundbite, or are we running out? I want you to play this one. When Too Stupid to Be President was in the little joint press conference with El Presidente de España, Aznar of España, something... welcoming Aznar to La Casa Blanca. Here he is, too stupid to be president.
President Jose Maria Aznar, I welcome you back to the Casa Blanca. It's good to see you again. Today I have moved to ease sanctions imposed by the United States against Iraq's old government.
George, those sanctions were put in place by the United Nations. Not the United States, the United Nations. Oh, never mind. But anyway, President Jose Maria Aznar, welcome. I want to welcome you back to La Casa Blanca. Oh, God. Tonight's program engineered in Detroit by Charlotte Jones. Produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us this Friday, Bush Free Fridays. Don't forget. So if you got something to say about Bush, tomorrow's your last chance this week. Have a nice evening. I'll see you tomorrow. I hope. I really, really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program.